We Will Not Be Tamed, a Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation podcast that encourages all Texans to get involved in conserving the wild things and wild places of our state.
I'm Lydia Saldana with Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation, and today we are at the caboose at Spoke Hollow Ranch with a couple of guests, including Josh Crumpton with Spoke Hollow Outfitters. We've got Talon Martin, who's the co-chair of the Austin Stewards of the Wild, and we've got Allie Biedenhorn, who's co-chair of the San Antonio chapter. Thanks for taking time out of this sweaty day to sit down and talk with us. You know, Josh, I want to start with you since we're here at Spoke Hollow. Just tell us a little bit about this place and what you're doing out here.
Well, so Spoke Hollow Ranch is a 1,000-acre ranch in Wimberley, Texas, located about 40 minutes from Austin and about an hour from San Antonio. It's a family ranch. Fourth generation of the family is now living on the ranch, and we're in the process of conserving this property. And in order to do that, we run an outfitter off of the property, and we take people hunting and fly fishing with a focus on upland hunting and fly fishing.
Okay. And of course, we're gathered here in Wimberley, socially distanced, I might add. We're carefully gathered here in Wimberley for a meeting of the co-chairs of the Stewards of the Wild from all across the state. And Allie, I wanted to start with you and just kind of tell us a little bit about what we've been doing today.
We have been just talking about kind of what we've been doing with our stewards chapters in our cities, kind of reigniting the fire for this new year coming up. It's been a little bit slower because of COVID, so things haven't been as active as they normally have been. But it's been good just to kind of see how everybody else in the state is still getting people outside or thinking about conservation and how they can get out in the future.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about Stewards and what the purpose of the organization is, and tell me a little bit about your backstory of how you came to the Stewards.
Yeah, I've been a part of the Austin chapter, I guess, for 3 years now, and really kind of stumbled into it through Texas Monthly ad. Me and my wife had moved there, and we're trying to figure out kind of where our community was going to be, and kind of went to a happy hour down at Eisenhower's, I guess on Rainy Street, and met these people, and we're like, man, this just feels like a really good fit, and you know, very, very like-minded young professionals, and said, you know, let's keep chasing this and see where it leads, and it's really been great for us to be a part of. Not only just from community standpoint, but it's pushed us to explore our state that we, being Texans, didn't really know a ton about. West Texas mountains, didn't even know they existed 6 years ago. And Stewards of Wild opened that up for me. So it's super cool to jump in an organization that not only has a passion for being outdoors, but is also conservation minded and has a bigger picture. And that's why I decided to take a serving position, is not only to help introduce new people to the outdoors, but also, you know, I see myself being able to give back in a conservation way by being a part of this.
And of course, Josh, you've kind of come to the foundation from several different directions. You want to kind of explain how you've gotten involved with the foundation and with the Stewards?
Yeah, so my first engagement, or my first awareness of the foundation, was during your guys' We Will Not Be Tame campaign. So good job, that was effective. It worked quite well. And I started monitoring what was happening at the foundation and found the Stewards program, and had been sort of watching that for a while. And a steward actually called me, Cameron DeTeague called me. She had found us on social media and said, hey, I'm gonna come and guide with you guys. I don't think she asked. She said, I'm coming to guide with you guys. I said, great. And so we met and talked, and it was a good fit. And she connected me to the Austin chapter and to the Wild Night. And I met Matt Hughes there, and we visited a little bit. He came out to the ranch and spent an afternoon. Now he lives here. He does. I said it earlier in the meeting. I think he lives here. And we started sort of cooking up, like, what can we do together? And with the quarantine that went into effect, after a few weeks, Matt called me and said, hey, we really want to do something to keep Stewards fueled. Can I come out and can we record a streaming show from the ranch? So we came and did the first show at the Caboose. We're on show number 14 now, so that's 14 weeks ago. And since then, Matt and I have cooked up a partnership for Mentored Hunts to launch both a mentored fishing program and to add upland hunting to the mentorship program that exists. And Spoke Hollow, we've come on and become an official sponsor for Stewards Live and for stewards in general. So
I'm going to circle back on the mentor hunt in a minute. You know, we've been talking about, of course, obviously we're dealing with, you know, trying to run largely event-based organizations in the time of COVID, which has been, needless to say, a challenge. Mm-hmm. And how have y'all been dealing with that in San Antonio? I know a heartbreaking thing happened. It was just a couple of weeks before Sausage Sewdown. I know Bill was disappointed that we didn't get to do that, but you want to talk a little bit about the types of events y'all have done in San Antonio and kind of what you're doing now and what you're seeing in the future?
So you mentioned Sausage Showdown, which is our pride and joy, which look out for 2021, it's come back strong. Since we've all been in quarantine, we tried a virtual happy hour, which was a success, but we are looking to do a fall dove hunt, which we'll all stay distance, and I think everybody will be very happy to get out of their house and outside. So that'll be good, and then just continuing education events that we really will be really good. We've partnered with Caesar Clayburgh, and we have one that will be virtual, so you can just zoom in from your computer, and you can be a stewards member or just know a stewards member and get the link. So we've talked about doing that, partnering with a local restaurant, and so we can do, you know, okay, go pick up your barbecue and watch our interview with Caesar Clayburgh. So that'll be exciting coming up.
Okay. So Talon, I ask you, what brought you to Stewards? What brought you to Stewards, Allie?
I had learned about it while I was living in Austin, but wasn't there long enough to get involved. So when I moved to San Antonio full-time, I was there for about a year and there wasn't a San Antonio chapter, but then they kicked it off about, I want to say 4 years ago. So I was a member and went to events and really liked it, and then about a year and a half ago decided to get more involved and joined the advisory council and became a co-chair.
So we were talking about mentored hunts, and you mentioned the mentored hunts that Matt is working on here at Spoke Hollow. That was something that we started about a year ago, and it has really taken off. It's an amazing to watch the evolution of it. And you were mentioning earlier, Josh, that you're an adult onset hunter, and that you've become very interested in the mentoring aspect of that. I'd like to hear your thoughts about that.
I am an adult onset hunter. I've fly fished my whole life, kayaked, rock climbed, skied, did a lot of things. Just hunting was not something that I did. And I came to hunting in my 30s, so it's a little over 10 years ago that I came to hunting. And I really probably could have sought out a mentorship program, but I didn't. I just sort of like muscled through it myself. And so one of the major goals here at our property has been providing an easy path for people to get to hunting. And our objective and why we feel that it's important is that hunting connects you to your food and it connects you to the land. And if you're going to eat meat, I feel like what transformed in me when I hunted was a respect for animals and respect for the life that an animal gives for me to live. So we really want to provide a path for other people to gain that same spirit. And the Stewards and Matt Hughes and the mentorship program that they're doing really kind of dovetailed quite nicely into the direction that we were already going.
So have you had experiences on any of these mentored hunts? I should have asked you that before.
I have not, but I grew up at the family ranch having that opportunity, and I think that it's phenomenal that we're getting people that have not had that opportunity out and getting them the itch, because once you get going, it's hard to stop. Yeah.
Well, and then the other thing about the different chapters, each chapter seems to have its own personality, if you will. And I'd imagine the Austin personality may be a little bit different than the Houston one or San Antonio. Hey, I lived here for 30 years. I can say that. So, I mean, what would you say about just kind of what you picked up in the Austin chapter about are folks being introduced to stuff that maybe they wouldn't have otherwise been introduced to?
I think the fun part about it to me is that us that have been kind of set in our ways have been pulled out of our ways and introduced to new things.
What do you mean by that? Tell me what you mean.
We've got everybody from fly fishermen to hunters to, you know, hiking enthusiasts to, I don't even know what you call it, the marathon runners that run through the mountains, those kind of
people. Yeah, those guys.
Yeah.
Adventure race.
Adventure racers, not my cup of tea,
but hey, that kind of thing. Bird watchers. It's just been kind of cool. Austin is a bit of a microcosm, you know, where you're having all these different people coming from different parts of the state and then also, you know, even the nation. And so in Austin, we're all open-minded to things. So that's been cool to kind of experience other people's outdoors, not just mine.
Anything just eye-opening for you? Anything you're doing now that you didn't do before as a result?
I would say the biggest one was fly fishing. I've always been a bait caster, small pond kind of guy. And seeing these guys that were just super enthused about not only fly fishing our hill country waters, but taking a fish that was semi less desirable, a carp, and chasing after that, and that being their trophy. And it was like, man, that's super cool that somebody takes somebody else's trash and that has been a hassle for the state and has now become a trophy fish for some guys to bring in the biggest carp on a fly rod. And some will laugh at it and some will say, you know,
that's cool.
That's cool. Yeah. So I just like that it's a microcosm of different, you know, different opinions of what the outdoors is to people.
So, Allie, how about you? What are some experiences that you've had that maybe you hadn't had before as a result of being part of Stewards?
Not to bring up Showdown, Sausage Showdown again. But I feel like it's pride and joy to some, but we'll take that. But that's one thing that's been so cool is seeing and getting to try all the processors from around the San Antonio area that I would have never known about. I have where I take my deer or whatever, and that's what you did. But getting to try from everywhere else, and then as well as get their recipes and learn kind of more on how you can cook it yourself or butcher it yourself has been really neat, a neat experience.
So Josh, on the back of your truck, I don't know if you have every single conservation organization in the United States sticker on the back of your truck, but it's close.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. So you've obviously been paying attention to this stuff through different organizations. And what is your observation of the Stewards?
So I'm really excited about the Stewards. One, because it's in Texas. And goes without saying when something's in Texas, it's a little closer to my heart. What I think is really neat about the Stewards is you have the Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation that has its mission to support Texas Parks and Wildlife. And is doing a whole lot and has done a whole lot to create so much public space and conserve in the state. And the Stewards, to me, is the grooming ground for the next generation of conservationists. And it's such an important piece to have that. And I think it's fascinating, as you guys have said earlier, that each chapter has its own unique spice and blend, and that it is not just a let's go hunt thing. It is, there's fishing, there's hiking, there's bird watching, there's so much involved. And I wish that earlier in my career I had been linked up with that sort of organization. I think it's fantastic.
Well, we've spent the last, I think it was supposed to be an hour, but it ended up being 2 hours going around the ranch with you, and it's so clear that you're passionate about this place. And is that conservation, that fire, has that always been in you, or is that something that is kind of the outgrowth of you beginning to hunt, or how would you describe how your conservation ethic has formed?
My conservation actually drove my hunting. So I came to hunting through conservation, not a conservationist through hunting. And my passion for this property, you know, it's my wife's grandfather purchased this property in the 40s, and my wife and I started coming out here with our kids, and it became a place for us to connect. I grew up back and forth between Texas and Colorado. In Colorado, I had a lot of access to national forest. We didn't do a lot of hunting on that property, on that land, but we did kayak and fly fish and rock climb and do all these things. As I went into my adult professional career, I sort of lost contact with nature, and I feel like that's something that you can very easily do in
Texas.
That
was your first career. We were talking about that earlier.
Which is in the wine industry and in the restaurant industry. And I lost contact with nature, and coming to this property and spending time with my kids here really fueled a connection back to something that I'd sort of lost in my young adult, you know, career. And so to me, that's what fueled the fire here, was just, oh, you know, growing up with public land, you don't move things on public land, right? So you don't, and I still spend a huge portion of my year in public land. When I'm in public land, I get to go, I get to enjoy it. I get to fish and hunt and do all this stuff, and then I leave. At the ranch, there's a different level of involvement. It's, yeah, that rock's new. The rock that I just drove past, it wasn't there before. Or, oh, look at that mesquite's popping up over there. I need to go do something about it. It's up to me to go out and make sure that mesquite doesn't take over a field, or to make sure that the cedar is pushed back. And it's a different level of ownership, and there's a sense of responsibility as a Texan and as a landowner, and particularly as a bootstrap Texan, to go out and do that stuff yourself. So, and I guess that's where my passion comes from.
So, Allie, you grew up on a ranch.
I did.
So tell me about that experience, how that informed your conservation ethic, and kind of what you're hoping to get out of Stewards and what you're hoping to share.
Well, I grew up knowing that I wanted to go into wildlife, that I wanted to go into kind of getting people outside. That was always kind of a focus of mine. And then studying wildlife management and then GIS, or digital cartography, basically, in school, it was kind of a combining those two, which kind of through a roundabout of things has gotten back to just fueling that passion or desire to get people outside and show them why it's so cool, why we need to be outside. So doing that professionally and personally through Stewards, it just kind of, again, fuels off each other, and it started just a whole wildfire. And Stewards is such a way to get young people who, you know, are busy in careers and in the office building all day and say, no, look, this is important too. This is why you should care about that. This is why you need to, you know, drink the conservation Kool-Aid or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, let them know that it is important and that, you know, shouldn't be just a shopping mall waiting to be built. But seeing the value in natural resources.
And you're absolutely allowed to give a plug for who you work for. Because I think it's wonderful what you're doing now. So go ahead and...
So I work for the East Foundation, and we do wildlife research, wildlife and ranching research in South Texas. So we're studying deer, quail, nilgai, prescribed burns, sand dune movement, you name it. If it's in the Wild Horse Desert, we're probably looking at it.
Well, tell Neil that Lydia said hi.
I will. Yes, ma'am.
It's great to see you involved in that. Talon, what has your experience been, both growing up, and how is Stewards helping to kind of take your conservation ethic to the next level?
For sure. Yeah. No, I think it's a great question, and it's something I didn't really start thinking about until 4 or 5 years ago. I've always been blessed to have a family ranch. My grandmother was passionate about owning a piece of property in Texas, and we've had it since 1975, and that's really where my passion and fuel for that passion has come, you know, spending time out there and learning from the land. And a lot of it was done just kind of novice and trial by error, but it's where I really grew to understand the resources that I have are limited to most people, and I need to try to enhance those and share them with people. I think what Josh said is spot on. It's just, you feel a sense of responsibility that, you know, if you're blessed to have something like this, whether you bought it or it's in your family, sharing that with people where they get to experience it and understand the power of it and really the energy of it has been something that's fueled me in the Stewards realm. Is, you know, I want to be able to share our family ranch and create those memories and create those hobbies and passions for other people. and Stuart has been kind of an outlet for that.
Now, I know you're a young father and a new father. You have two children under the age of three, so yeah, you're tired. Has your perspective on that changed any or intensified any since you've become a father?
Intensified, for sure. Yeah. Taking my daughter fishing for the first time, I guess, during the pandemic, just like, it was crazy to me that a three-year-old, or she was two at the time, just had this fire to start, you know, fishing. And it was like, I got our Paw Patrol pole, and I was like, she's gonna use it for 5 minutes and then it's gonna be over. We fished for, I'm not kidding you, 3 hours, and she loved every bit of it. And we were pulling in panfish, and she'd hold it up, and then that night we cooked it all up. Still didn't get her to eat it, but I definitely, it was cool to
see. One step at a time, right?
It was cool to see that passion that a kid that has very limited attention span with anything else, for her to just channel into that. And even when we go to the ranch now, she's like, hey, when are we going fishing? I'm like, how do you remember that? And how is it that impactful for you? But I think it's just so tangible, touch, feel, you know, and it's an experience you share with a loved one that I think creates this deep bond and desire to do more of it.
Well, we have yet to take our grandson on a fishing trip. He's four, so I need some intel about the Paw Patrol fishing.
Yes, they bring in the biggest fish, the Paw Patrol, or Elsa. That's another good one. you'll know who that is soon at some point in time.
So, you know, we've been talking about kind of the legacy of land, and you both have, you know, had the opportunity to grow up on family land that not many Texans, you know, have that opportunity. And Josh, you were sharing that this kind of place almost skipped a generation in stewardship, which I think is an interesting tale.
Yeah, it did. So really, my wife's grandfather, my mother-in-law, they moved out here as a retirement property. And my mother-in-law actually went to school in Austin, boarding school. And so, really, there wasn't a generation that grew up on this ranch. So, when her parents passed away, she didn't have that I grew up on the ranch or the connectivity. She grew up in Brazil, actually. And she didn't have that connectivity to this ranch. And the other kids had some connectivity, but everybody kind of moved to different parts of the country. And the ranch kind of went through about a generation and a half of not really a hands-on management from the family. And when my wife and I started coming out here, we really started to dig our hands into the soil and really started to get involved with being here and started to make those memories on this property that make it more than just a piece of dirt. It makes it a home and a place where you live, and you make the Paw Patrol memories. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a 7-year-old that I take out for the past 2 years. I've taken him out with his BB gun into the field to go upland hunting with me. And you know, it's those are the things, the Paw Patrols, the Red Riders, and getting out on the land with the kids really put the land in your heart. It really drives it into your soul when you see the kids utilize it. And so this ranch now has a new life and a new generation that is connected to it with love.
Well, speaking of new life, as we record this, you are literally about to become a father any minute. Well, hopefully not any minute now. We hopefully get back to San Antonio before she goes into real labor. And then you also told us that y'all are moving out here.
So yeah, we live out here now. Yeah. We moved out here about a year ago. This will finish a year out here. We've actually been stationed up in a house that was designed to kind of be a nice weekend cabin. But as we started building Spokalo Outfitters and started reaching out, and it kind of took off at a really fast trajectory. We found that the way that we're talking and portraying the outdoors, particularly the Austin market, has been very receptive to it, the way that we portray how we engage with the outdoors. And so it became apparent to us that we needed to live out here. So our kids go to school out here, and we live out here, and we've got number five on the way in a couple days. And
so do you know son or daughter?
Daughter.
Okay. So your daughter, soon to be born daughter, but by the time we publish this, probably will be born daughter.
Yes.
She's going to be the generation that actually grows up from birth here.
Yes, that is true. Absolutely.
So what do you hope for her?
Oh, gosh. That's now you're asking these deep questions. You know, I hope for all of my kids and her that they find a connectivity to the natural world and that they put an emphasis and importance on that, whether it's at this ranch or wherever they are, above all other things, above the career, above the money, above the shiny things, is finding some happiness that comes from the natural world, because I think that makes you a whole human being. So that's what I hope for all of them.
I could probably continue this conversation for another hour and a half, but I won't. We'll wrap this up. I know we'll have opportunities again to talk to all of you again, but I want to just wrap up by asking you, Allie, kind of, I guess we can talk about 2021, right? What's looking forward for the San Antonio Stewards?
We are hoping to have a lot of events coming up. On the books right now, again, is Sausage Showdown 2021. So that'll be in the spring, and that'll be our main event.
Well, we'll be there, right, Bill? Okay, Talon, how about for Austin?
Plate.
Yeah, how about for Austin?
I would say we don't have a ton planned for 2021, but I think the silver lining in all of this, the pandemic thing, is that we've just noticed how many people have found a passion for the outdoors, and we're excited to hear what people have done in this downtime and how, you know, we can help open up some doors in the outdoors for them in 2021.
And Josh, you mentioned at the top of this podcast, We Will Not Be Tamed. And you're going to be a We Will Not Be Tamed ambassador for 2021.
I am. I'm really very honored and super excited and look forward to getting the message of getting outdoors to as many people as possible as an ambassador. Super honored and excited.
Well, thank you for having us at the Caboose today and appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brought to you by Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation, We Will Not Be Tamed calls us all to appreciate the wildness of Texas, the vastness of our Texas spirit, and why we should be inspired to conserve it. Find out more at wewillnotbetamed.org.